أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. Dear viewers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As you remember, in our last session, I talked about supernaturalism. I devoted the whole session to describing this school of thought. According to this school of thought, X is good if God desires it. In the same, X can be bad if God does not desire it. So what is important and what matters is the desire of God and the like and dislike of God. We must focus our attention on discovering the will and intention of God, because it is the intention of God and it is the will of God that tell us about the character of moral statements. It is the likes and dislikes of God that describe moral statements. Moral statements are nothing in themselves. They are neither good nor bad. It is God who makes them either good or bad. If God likes something, then it is good. And if God dislikes something, then it is bad. The present session will be devoted to assessing this school of thought and looking at it critically. Moral scholars have issued a number of objections against this school of thought. I will, inshallah, relate some of the objections that are very important for understanding and evaluating this school of thought. One objection that is very much popular among moral scholars is the objection that is raised against one of the arguments presented by this school. This school was of the view that it is the divine secret books that tell us what is good and what is bad. Goodness and badness are determined by the words of God that are found in religious texts. This was a very important argument. But the opponents of this school are of the view that this argument is not valid. This argument is not acceptable, because the secret books, divine books, or religious texts, they do not tell us to go and subscribe to supernaturalism. You never find a verse in the Holy Quran nor in any other religious text that tell you and that recommend you to go and follow supernaturalism. What is found in all religious texts is that obey God, follow the commandment of God, never disobey your Lord. This is what that is found in every religious text. But from this, we cannot decipher that supernaturalism is recommended. From this, we cannot infer that supernaturalism is acceptable. Why? Because it only tells you obey God. Obeying God is not tantamount to obeying supernaturalism. Supernaturalism tells you that good is equal to the like of God, and bad is equal to the dislike of God. This is what supernaturalism says. But divine books never tell such things. Divine books tell you that obey God, obey the prophets of God. Following the prophets and following the divine sacred books is based on certain philosophies. And one of the philosophies that support obeying God is that it is in accordance with intellectual analysis. It is in line with reasoning, with healthy reasoning. If you have got a healthy mind, and if you follow a healthy reasoning, you will be necessarily led to following God. Your intellect tells you to follow God. Your reason tells you and compels you to follow God. So to follow God is because of your intellect. It is because of your reason. We must follow God, not because God has told us to follow Him, but because our reason tells us to follow God. If we say that you must follow God because God has told you to follow Him, it will be a circular argument. You follow God because of God. It is a circular argument. Logically speaking, such an argument is invalid. Such an argument is not acceptable. In order to escape such an invalid argument, we must say that we must follow God because of our intellect, because of the voice of our reason. It is because our reason tells us to follow God. We must obey God because it is our intellect that tells us to obey God. So the objection is very clear. The objection tells them that do not misunderstand religious texts. Religious texts never tell you that good is equal to the recommendation or to the order of God. It only tells you obey God. In obeying God is based on the voice of your reasoning. It is based on the arguments presented by your intellect. And there are, of course, many issues, particular issues, and all these issues can be justified on the basis of philosophical reasonings or intellectual analysis. For example, according to all divine books, stealing is bad. It is bad to steal the property of others. Why it is bad? Is it bad because God has forbidden it? Or it is bad, or God has forbidden it because it is bad? According to moral scholars, God has forbidden stealing because stealing is bad. Not because God has forbidden it, and therefore it is bad. Similarly, God has forbidden drinking wine. It is because drinking wine is bad. It is because drinking wine leads to certain catastrophic results. If you bang, you might injure yourself. You might create problem for yourself, as well as for the society, as well as for your family. In order not to face such kind of problems, stop drinking wine. So God has forbidden drinking wine because it is bad. Not because God has forbidden it and therefore it is bad. This is not a correct way of argumentation. Similarly, you can say that fornication or adultery is bad in itself. Not because God has forbidden it. It is bad in itself. God has forbidden adultery because adultery is bad in itself. If one indulges in adultery, one might come across numerous problems and difficulties. In order not to face such kind of problems and such kind of difficulties, you must avoid doing such kind of thing. So all the things that are forbidden, they are forbidden because they are bad in themselves. And God has forbidden them because they are bad in themselves. So this is one of the objections that can be raised against this school of thought. Another objection that is equally important is that we are not sure that all rules end up in divine commandments. According to the theory presented by this school of thought, all judgments, all rules, all regulations, all laws end up in one way or the other to divine commandments, to divine order. So we don't have, according to them, any law, any rule that can be justified independently from the divine laws. It is the divine laws that actually explain all regulations in all rules. But according to the criticism presented by moral scholars, this argument is not valid. This argument is not acceptable. Why it is not acceptable? This is because if this argument is valid, then we will face certain difficulties. For example, if you say X is equal to X, is it correct or not? Of course it is correct. Every healthy person accepts such a proposition, such a statement. But do you think the accuracy of this statement is based on divine laws? Do you think it is God who has given validity to this kind of statements? Or for example, in mathematics, your mathematics teacher tells you that 2 plus 2 is equal to 4. But do you think such kind of mathematical statements are right or wrong? Of course they are right. But do you think they are right because God has actually given them the credit? The credit has come from the side of God to such kind of statements. Of course, we are, at least we can say that we are not sure that such statements that are self-evident truths, such kind of statements are supported by divine commandment theory. So therefore we can say there are statements, there are propositions, there are sentences that are very much acceptable according to every common sense. But we are not sure that the validity of these kind of statements has come from a divine direction. So we cannot say that all sentences, including moral sentences, are actually reliable, because God has given them the credit and God has given them the validity. This is another argument. A third objection that can be raised against this school of thought is that, according to this school of thought, we must subscribe to supernaturalism, because it is supernaturalism that provides us with a solid source, with a solid source for moral statements. If you are in search of a solid source for moral judgments, then go and subscribe to naturalism, to supernaturalism, because this is supernaturalism that gives you a solid base for moral judgments. But according to the objection moral scholars raise, this argument is not acceptable, because a solid foundation, finding a solid foundation for moral statements is not based on subscribing to supernaturalism. First of all, we must say that there is no need for finding a solid base for moral judgments. There is no such necessity. You are hungry and you go and eat something. You are thirsty, you go and drink a glass of water. In such cases, you do not look for any source, for such kind of orders. When you feel thirsty, you go and drink water. When you feel tired, you sit down and get rest. So do you, in such cases, do you search for any source? Of course not. Similarly, in moral judgments, when you feel morally obliged to do something, you don't need to look for the source. And the moment you feel that it is proper to do something, you do it. So to look for a source for morality is not necessary. Is not necessary. It is irrelevant to give time to such kind of things. So this argument is not correct. And of course, if you are very much insistent on saying that there must be a solid source for moral judgments, then of course we can say that the society is a source for moral judgments, just as the cultural relativists were saying. Or you can say your feelings are a very solid source for issuing moral judgments. So you don't need to look for extra sources for moral judgments. That is another objection. The fourth objection that is also very important is that, according to this school of thought, there is a connection between religion and morality. This connection can be preserved, this connection can be kept only if morality is based on religion. If religion serves as a substructure for morality. This was the argument they presented. But according to moral arguments, this argument is not valid. Why it is not valid? Because the relation between morality and religion is not exclusively based on supernaturalism. You can subscribe to supernaturalism and you can believe in the relation between religion and morality. And you can also avoid believing in supernaturalism, and at the same time you can believe in the relation between morality and religion. The relation between morality and religion is not based exclusively on accepting supernaturalism. You can reject supernaturalism, but still you can be of the view that there is a close relation between religion on the one hand and morality on the other. You can believe that God tells us to do good things because of the good things. God tells us to speak the truth because speaking the truth is good in itself. God forbids us from telling a lie because telling a lie is bad in itself. God forbids us from stealing the property of others because stealing the property of others is bad in itself. God forbids us from drinking wine because drinking wine is bad in itself. God tells us to be honest because honesty is a value in itself. So by saying such kind of things, by having such kind of beliefs, we can be of the view that there is a relation between morality and goodness. There is a relation between morality and religion. We do not believe that the relation between the two is cut off. We believe that there is a relation. And God always does a good thing. It is because a good thing is a good thing. So that is the fourth objection that was raised by moral scholars against this school of thought. But let me now touch the Muslim scholars' point of view in regard with supernaturalism. Do Muslim scholars believe in supernaturalism or in divine command theory? Or do they reject such kind of theories? As I mentioned before, Muslim scholars are of different opinions in these connections. Some Muslim scholars, such as Ash'arites and the people of narrations called Ahli Hadith, this kind of people who are mostly Sunnites, they believe in some version of divine command theory. They believe in one way or the other in supernaturalism. According to them, X is good because God likes it. And X is bad because God dislikes it. According to them, what is important and what matters a lot is the decision of God and is the word of God. It is the word of God that legitimizes something, and it is the word of God that makes something illegal. The legality or illegality of something depends on the words of God and on the will of God. But of course, there are other scholars, especially the Shia scholars, as well as the Mu'tazilite scholars, they are of the view that supernaturalism is not a valid school of thought. And we must never follow such kind of theories. According to them, God does good things because good things are good in themselves. God does not give goodness to anything. We cannot deduce from the command of God the goodness of something. God is actually like us. We do things that are good in themselves. If we feel morally responsible, we do good things because they are good in themselves. Similarly, God does something that is good in themselves. And God stops doing certain things because they are bad in themselves. And there is a very famous saying, according to Ash'arite, Al-Hasan Muhassanahu Shari, Good is what that is made good by God. In al-qabih ma qabbahahu shari. In a bad thing is a thing that is made bad by God. This is the motto of the Ash'arites, and this is the motto of the people of narration. But the motto of the Shiites is a different motto. They are of the view that something are intrinsically, inherently good, and something are inherently bad. And God does those things that are inherently good. And God does not do those things that are inherently bad. So things are of two kinds. Some are inherently good and some are inherently bad. But the thing is that sometimes the badness and goodness of things are very clear. They are very much obvious. Everybody can understand what is good and what is bad. For example, committing aggression or oppression. Committing aggression is good or bad. Everybody understands and everybody agrees with you that it is a bad thing. So in doing injustice is a bad thing. In doing favor to someone is a good thing. To return the favor of somebody is a good thing. It is a thing everybody understands and everybody agrees with. But of course, there are certain things whose goodness and badness are not that much clear. We are of the view that in such cases, moral scholars of the view that in such cases, the words of the Sharia, the words of the prophets, divine words are very much determining in such areas. Because our intellect in such areas does not help us to understand what is right and what is wrong. In such cases, it is the divine prophets who can help us and who can take our hand and who can tell us what is right and what is wrong. So this could be one of the reasons that we believe in prophecy. It is one of the arguments due to which we believe there must be prophets, because everything is not clear. Were everything clear, we would not need any prophet. We would not need any imam. Since some of the things are not clear, and since we are faced with things that are not obvious, therefore we need a prophet, and we need an imam who must be our guide and who must help us throughout our life. According to Mu'tazilites, as well as according to Shiites, if we do not believe in inherent in things that are inherently good, as well as in things that are inherently bad, in other words, if we do not believe in the power of human judgment, if we do not believe in the power of human intellect, then we will not be able to prove the urgency of the prophecy of the prophets. We will not be able to prove that there must be a religion that is revealed by God, because our intellect fails to understand things, because our intellect does not help us in this condition. And if we say we must follow the prophets because God has told us to follow the prophets, it will be a circular argument, as I mentioned before. In a circular argument is not a valid argument according to all logicians and according to all logical rules. Therefore, in order to be consistent, in order to be up to the mark, we must accept that something is inherently good and something is inherently bad. And God does those things that are inherently good, and God avoids doing those things that are inherently bad. Thank you very much.